20 and verse 5, the first resurrection. Now, I'm going to read something to you again from the book of Enoch, okay? I'm not saying the book of Enoch is inspired or anything, but I just want to read something to you, if I can find it. I did. From the book of Enoch. If you'll hear the book of the writer of the book of Jude refers to Enoch's writing also. And this is a concise explanation of what Enoch taught about man's time on earth and the thousand-year reign of Christ. By the way, the word thousand-year reign is used six times in the book of Revelation. It is referred to six times. And six is the number of man. As the world was made in 6 days, so its history will be accomplished in 6,000 years. And as the 6 days of creation were followed by one of rest, so the 6,000 years of world's history will be followed by a rest of 1,000 years. On its close would begin the eighth eternal day of blessedness when time shall be no more. That's what Enoch wrote about time.
The eighth day being the completion of
the eighth day. The eighth day is the eternal ages. All right? It's what he's talking about.
Up here.
Now, some of you don't have this chart. So I need to give out this chart to some of you. Scott, you don't have this chart, do you?
Do you have this chart, John?
Oh,
no.
All right. That's a good one. Here's this chart. Hey, we got color now.
And then it's color.
Oh, it's a dollar a piece to do those things. Well, that color, you know, it's nice and available, boy, but that... That those colored cartridges cost a lot of money. And that shows you the period of time known as the tribulation period. God created the heavens and the earth, and we know that. And man is going to live through here, and Enoch's talking about this period of time lasting 6,000 years. How long ago it began from the Bible? We're in right toward the end of it, by the way. Regardless, plus or minus some. Okay? And the church age is that sixth period of time, and it's been about 2,000 years. Right? And then we come to the rapture and the translation of the saved and the rapture of the saved, and then comes upon this earth the tribulation period. That has not been known. And if you study church history, you'll find it was some real bad times during the Dark Ages in the world. It's going to be a whole lot worse than that. That was a piece of cake, according to what's going to happen in the tribulation period, which is coming. That's what people are looking forward to now, those that aren't saved, aren't born again. And what I mean by saved is that, and I don't want to make this easy, because it's made too easy in churches. Being saved is repenting of realizing you're a sinner and repenting of the sins that you have committed in your life and not doing them anymore.
Amen.
Turning your back on them. And when you do that, the only way you'll know you're ever saved is when you don't want to do that. If you want to continue in that, then I would say really check your salvation. All right? Because God does not want you to live like that, and you shouldn't, if you're his child, you shouldn't want to live like that, like the things that you repented of, okay? And those that are not saved and left upon this earth, there's going to be, right after the rapture, there's going to be a tremendous revival, I believe. There was a tremendous revival, according to the Word of God, outside the ark when the rain came. What? Well, nobody believed it was going to rain when Noah built the ark. All of a sudden it started raining. There was three sources of water. The heavens dumped the oceans from the sky and down on the earth. The springs from underneath the ground started flowing, and it started raining. We never had rain before. The flood came, but God had shut the door on the ark. All those on the outside of the ark died. They got baptized to death. Didn't they? All right. The ones on the inside of the ark were saved. There was only eight of them, and of course one was raptured before the flood, and who was he?
Enoch.
Enoch, the one we're talking about tonight. All right? The Bible teacher we're talking about. All right, Revelation 20 and verse 5. Poi.
Poi.
Lepoi.
Lepoi.
Tone.
Tone.
Necron.
Necron.
Uk.
Uk.
Ex. Exason.
Exason.
Acri.
Acri.
Teleste.
Teleste.
Ta.
Ta.
Kelia.
Kelia.
Epe.
Epe.
Alte.
Alte.
Pe. Anastasis.
Anastasis.
Hey.
Hey.
Prote.
Prote.
Kind of a short verse, but there's a lot in it. All right? A lot in it. And it says, the ones remaining. All right, the ones remaining are the remaining ones. Out of the dead ones, not they lived. Out of the dead ones, not lived. What remaining ones? The ones that were lost, that died. From all time, from here, from the beginning of time, all the dead that were dead without Jesus Christ in the ground lived not again. Here's the resurrection that's going to take place here of all the saved right here. But the ones that are lost are going to be in a hell until the final resurrection. And then hell is done away with, by the way.
That's even thrown into the fire.
That's thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is sometimes referred to as a hell. It is an eternal place where lost sinners' bodies are like asbestos. They never burn up. They just keep on burning forever and forever. And that's where we are in this chapter, telling us there's so much theology in the 20th, the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Hello, Brother Levy. Mm-hmm. There is so much theology in these four or five chapters to the end of the book of Revelation that if you didn't have the rest of the Bible, it would have all the doctrines of the Bible right in it. Nearly all the doctrines of the Bible are right here in these few chapters of the book of Revelation. And it says, and they didn't live again until it may be completed in 1,000 years. And this one is the resurrection of the first. The first resurrection takes place here. All right, in this period of time. If you don't have a chart, I'll get you a chart too. That's when the first resurrection takes place. There was the first fruits of the resurrection when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. What's the first fruit? What does it mean?
The first ones to die.
What's the first fruit? What's the term mean? What?
Perfect works.
When you have a... How many of you have a garden? How many of you have a fruit tree in your yard? Sometimes some of your fruit gets ripe way before the other, doesn't it? That's what you call first fruits. The first fruits of the resurrection, a type of the resurrection was, it happened in the Old Testament. There was two people that we know of were raptured in the Old Testament to show us it's possible.
Enoch and Elijah.
Enoch and Elijah. And then in the New Testament, when Jesus rose from the dead, it said the bodies of some of the saints, at least, came up out of the ground and stood and walked around in Jerusalem. And this was the proof. Not only was Christ raised from the dead, but some to prove. Remember, why was the reason for the miracles in the New Testament?
To glorify Jesus Christ.
He was to prove who he was.
Credentials.
That was his credentials, his messianic credentials. The miracles in the New Testament was to prove, without a shadow of doubt, who he was. Okay? Now, when the resurrection took place, the Jews went to Pilate, remember, and they said, give us a Roman guard to guard the tomb, because we think he's going to try to raise and do this. And Jesus, or not Jesus, but Pilate told him, jump in the creek, fellas. I already washed my hands of your but you're skullduggery and politics already. You go get your own soldiers and guard it the best you know how. They weren't Roman guards at the tomb. They wanted them, but they didn't get them. I don't care what Cecil B. DeMille did, or all these programs you see with the Roman guards stand out in front of the tomb of Jesus. They weren't there. Those were temple guards. Those were Jewish guards. And they said that because if the disciples take and steal his body and say that he was resurrected, this thing's going to be worse than ever. You know what? The disciples of Jesus didn't understand as much as those ungodly bugs did. But you know what? Not only did he come out of the ground, but many others came out of the ground too to prove there was a resurrection from the dead. All right? Of the saints. This was the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, at this place and time right here, there is going to be every saved person during all time that's ever died. You know, people's bodies sometimes are burned up and their ashes are just spread out in the ocean. And during the Dark Ages, they were burning Baptist Christians at the stake and throwing their ashes in the river and whatever they could do with them to try to do away with them. They didn't want their bones left there. They were afraid of them a lot of times. And you know what? The Lord says that even if a fish ate somebody, or no matter what happened to you, if you're saved, God's going to find your molecules and put them back together again and stand them up. That word anastasia there, that means to stand again. Ana and stasis. Alright? The verb form is histamine. Alright? It means to stand again. To stand up again. Put you back together again. Alright? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall and Humpty had a great fall and said all the
horses.
Horses and whatever couldn't put him back together again. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what happens to the bodies of God's saved people down through the ages. He's going to put them back together again and stand them back on their two pegs. Right back up again to the cart.
In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, up there, it talks about there's going to be a trumpet sound and Christ will come in mid-air.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive in nature become together in there. So that those in the grave will rise first.
Before. The one standing.
Yeah.
And it says that the time element will be very short. The time element will be so short, it is the time element is one flap of a gnat's wing. Now why did the dead in Christ rise first? Before the ones that are standing on their feet in the world. My theory of that, solipsism, is that so the living saved will see the glory of the resurrection before they're resurrected. Momentarily. We will get to see the glory of the resurrection as they come and catch up to our height. Whether they're in the ocean or 6 feet under or 100 feet under or 1,000 feet under or wherever their bodies, the molecules of their bodies are, God will put it together and zip it comes back together and He stands them on their feet and takes them into heaven. And as they come up to the point where we're standing, if we're alive and whatever, we'll see the glory of the resurrection. And then we'll be changed in the blink of an eyelash, or actually the flap of a gnat's wing. And how many of you ever had a gnat get in your ear? You know how fast that is? That's the flap of the wings that you hear in there. It says in one flap of a gnat's wing. That's how fast we're going to be changed. That's how fast it's going to take. That's how long it's going to take God.
Where did you get that from, the flap of a gnat's wing?
That's what it says. The word, our word rapid comes from that word. Rapid. Okay? And that's rapid. Okay.
Verse 5 is concerning the second portion right before the millennial reign, right? Mm-hmm. The section. Do you call it the last resurrection?
Okay, here the first resurrection takes place. All right. And then here we have a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. This is the seventh period of time, all right, that it talks about in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And this is 1,000-year reign. And six times the Bible, the book of Revelation, refers to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And, of course, there are many people in the world, many so-called theologians, mm-hmm. that do not believe in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. They don't believe it's real. Well, we've already run into this several times here. We're going to run into it some more. I believe in the literal interpretation of Scriptures. For the Bible can be interpreted literal, I believe it should be interpreted.
Amen.
Because the Lord means for us to do that. When you study mathematics, 2 plus 2 is equals 4. 2 plus 2 always equals 4. Alright? Well, when God says something, it means exactly what He says, unless there's a figure of speech there that is real evident, and there is no figure of speech here. It just says 1,000 years. Talked about 1,000 years that the Lord was going to reign. It says here, this one is the first resurrection. Revelation 20 and verse 6. I was going to bring my text like that so I could read it easier. The writing here in Greek is not as good. Makarios.
Makarios.
Kai.
Kai.
Hagios.
Hagios.
Ho.
Ho.
Is that Ekon?
Yeah,
Ekon. Meros.
Meros.
En.
Te.
Anastase.
Anastase.
Te.
Prote.
Epi.
Epi.
Tuton.
Tuton.
Like a two-tone car, see? Tuton. Ho.
Ho.
Deuteros.
Deuteros.
Sonatos.
Sonatos.
Uk.
Uk.
Eke.
Eke.
Exousion.
Exousion.
Al.
Al.
Esonte.
Esonte.
Keres.
Keres.
Tu.
Theu,
Kai,
Tu,
Christu,
Kai,
Basilususin, Net, Autu, and then the word Ta there is in italics. Is it in your text at all?
It's
in brackets. That means it was substituted in there. It was not in the original language, but it's understood to be there. Ta Kilia, and Pei. All right. Because if you grammatically, when you think, it just, now almost every verse is talked about 1,000-year reign, hasn't it? Here again, we have Kilia Ete, 1,000 years. Here we have the 1,000-year reign of Christ referred to again. Let's go back and look at this. It says blessed and happy. Okay? It's Makarios. That means a happy face. How many of you see somebody that put a little poster or something on it that says happy face? That means smiling. And that's what it means. It means to smile and be happy. To rejoice. Rejoicing. It says, blessed and holy. Hagios. What about hagios? What does that word hagios mean?
Set apart for sacred purpose.
All right. But it means a real literal thing. It's set apart, all right. But literally, Brother Ken, do you remember what it means?
Yeah, it means not of earth.
Not of earth. Not of earth. When you're born the first time, you're born of the earth, aren't you? Related to the earth, and you're born upon the earth. The second time you're born, when you're born again, you're born from above. You're born from heaven. You're born not of the earth. So everybody that's born again is actually called hagios. And we get our term, King James, called them saints. Saints. I know the Catholic Church sainted a few people, everything, but the Lord God calls everyone that is born again a holy one. One that is not of earth. Okay? Separated, set apart, yes. And the holy ones, the one having part. Who are these holy ones? Now, look at that. It should be hagioios, holy. That's what it should say. It should be the ones holy. But right here it says, holy the one. It's talking about each and every individual. You are not saved because your mama is saved, your daddy is saved, or your husband is saved, or your brother is saved, or anything. You're saved separate and apart by your own personal volition in space and time. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind. But that blood that was shed on the cross for all mankind, it is not efficacious unless you repent and you call upon Him individually. Alright? It was paid for, but is not efficacious. It will not be applied to you unless you repent and call individually, separately. Everybody that took part in the first resurrection had repented of their sins and called upon God for them to be born again. Born not of earth, but from heaven. Okay? Well, Carl, isn't this good stuff?
It is. And, you know, I just want to say this. Since you've been in this class and since you covered the verses on the rapture and the resurrection of Christ, it's just motivating me to live in light of the coming of Christ and not to get too hung up with what's on this earth.
That's the purpose of the whole book of Revelation.
And just to say, I need to use my spiritual gift for the Lord and not let it go to waste.
Yep.
Serve until He comes back.
Okay.
I'm still confused on the names of these different resurrections. We have Jesus in the first fruits.
Now, Jesus in the first fruits, that really was the resurrection of Christ, okay?
Okay.
And to prove that He was resurrected, God resurrected others also to prove it. That's the proof, okay?
And then the rapture.
And then we have the rapture. And that's the whole rapture of all the saints. Okay?
That's not considered resurrection.
That
is a rapture.
Well, we have the rapture and the resurrection takes place at the same time. All right?
Okay.
The rapture and the resurrection takes the same time.
Yep.
And then we have a holding place. During the tribulation period, it says the saints, all of the saints that were beheaded for the name of Jesus Christ during the tribulation period were begging for God to bring judgment upon the great whore of the book of Revelation, the great religious system that had them killed. So then they're basically resurrected sometime after this. Okay, they're put back together with us all.
That was my confusion.
Some people think.
Why they call it the first resurrection when it's already been one.
Okay, the resurrection is here. All right. Now, there was a preliminary resurrection. There was a. In the Old Testament, all of the things that happened here during this period of time were types of Jesus to come. When God killed those lambs in the Garden of Eden, those lambs stood for what? Jesus. So that was a type of what was to come to be.
Mm-hmm.
They died in space and time, and I keep saying that because they died right then. But Jesus Christ was to die in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And in the future, Jesus Christ died. But all during the time of Israel, when Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom, every lamb they killed was a type and pointed forward Christ. When Christ was resurrected from the dead, and all of those with Him to prove that He was resurrected from the dead, these were His messianic credentials again. Okay? That was not called the resurrection. But it was the first fruits of the resurrection to prove the resurrection was going to happen. Even these two in the Old Testament that were translated are raptured in the Old Testament, Enoch and Elijah, was to prove that God could resurrect and rapture those on the earth. God makes a statement, states a fact, and then He proves it. All down through time. Happy and blessed, holy, happy faces are the holy ones having part in the Anastasia Te Prote, the resurrection, the standing again, the first. And upon these, the second death, not it has. Okay? The second, deuteros, thanatos. Deuteros. That means second. Okay? How about thanatos?
Yeah.
Now that word's got separation in it.
Yeah.
You know something? Everybody that's going to be cast into the lake of fire in the end time
here. They're going to be dead. Not dead, dead, not going out of existence. Now, I'm going to tell you something here. I'm going to give you a little look-see into some theology, some wrong theology. The Seventh-day Adventists teach that nobody will ever go to hell. That the devil is, that Satan, Lucifer, is going to go to hell for everybody. That nobody will ever go to hell. Now, they teach that. The Bible does not teach that, is what I'm saying. The Bible teaches that everybody that rejects Christ from the beginning of time and through all this period of time is going to be in hell forever, including Satan.
Amen.
All right? And to say something like that is total heresy.
Amen.
All right? But some people teach these things. I'm going to let you know that, and of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses say there's no such thing as hell. That you're just going to go out of existence, you'll never be resurrected. Now, they've got a new revelation and say, well, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead, and what they're going to do with them, I don't know. But it don't really matter anyway, because they have no foundation of salvation to even stand upon. The second death, thanatos, means separation. Everything away from God is dead.
Amen.
God is life. God is life. Just think about that. Here's God right here. God in His immediate presence, okay? I can't even print in English. God. God.
That's
Elohim.
Elohim.
Alright? This all compassing God is right here. And all of the saved universe is Enochion, down in His presence. And that out here in darkness is separated and set away from God in that terrible black hole called hell. You know, scientists have discovered now that there's black holes. And they said that the black holes are dark inside. No light can escape at all, and matter is just like compressed tremendously. Do you know, Brother Ken, how tall are you?
6'3".
All right. And how much do you weigh? I'm getting personal here. How much?
300.
Not 300 pounds. 6'3 and 300 pounds. Do you know that if we took all the space between your atomic structure, that you wouldn't even be that big? But you know what? You'd still weigh 300 pounds. Because it's pure matter. Einstein did something like this. Something like that. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. There is energy in matter. In all matter, there is energy. Matter does not disappear in everything. Matter never disappears. Sometimes you can take a whole great big tree and you can burn it up. But really, you didn't burn it up. You compressed the matter down into small amount of ashes. That's compressed matter. Then you can squish them on down even smaller. But it is still that tree. It is that matter. And that's like hell. People, beings, the devil's not going to burn up. He's going to be like asbestos, and that is the word for it. Unquenchable fire is asbestos. Yes, brother.
At work, I've been trying to witness to some guys, and this one man said, he didn't believe in God. I said, why don't you believe in God? Oh, he said, I'm going to hell. I said, well, I'll die. I said, you won't die in hell. I said, this punishment forever.
It doesn't go away. It would be really nice. It would really be nice if when God threw you in hell, that you would just disappear and go out of existence. But it wouldn't be just, would it? And then if God did that, then He wouldn't be God anymore. Wouldn't He?
No.
He'd go against His own word.
And then it says the second death not. Look at that word ook. That's an adverb of negation. You can look that one on page 294 in Benjamin Davidson's Analytical Greek Lexicon. And not this death has authority. Exousion. Exousia or exousion. What does that word mean? That's authority to use all power at one's fingertips, at one's ability or disposal. The death does not have any authority or any power at all over the ones in the first resurrection. This word death here, it is a separation from God. It's hell. Right there. That's called the second death. The lake of fire. But, that's a strong adversity conjunction. It actually is a contraction from Allah. Alright? Because this alpha on the end of this Allah would conflict with that epsilon on the next word, so they just dropped it in Greek so it would sound better, and that's what you call euphony. Okay? So it would sound better. All esonta. But they shall be priests. Who shall be priests?
Tribulation saints.
All the saints.
All of
the saints. They shall be priests. What is a priest? What is a priest? A real priest. Now, I'm not talking about these guys running around in robes and stuff. What is a priest? What does priests do?
Like a steward in God's temple.
Yeah.
Future.
Well,
a servant. Deacon.
Okay, kind of like a deacon. A servant. They shall be servants. You can put the word servants there. All right? Servants. They shall be servants belonging to God. Two theou. What case is that in, brother? Let's look at this case. Right there it says, priests of God. They shall be priests, kareis, two theou. Two theou.
Nominal.
No, it's not nominal. That would be host theos. Genitive. Okay, genitive is the case of what?
Belonging.
The case of possession or belonging. All right. Do you see how, you know, the Bible is beautiful? It even grammatically is correct. Grammatically it's correct. Priest belonging to God. Chi to Christu. And you can put chi there, can be a cumulative particle. Belonging to God. Even Christ. Christ is God, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, he is. He's God. Christ is God. Belonging to God. It wouldn't do any violence to that scripture at all to say to God, even or also or the same as Christ. Because he is our God. Some people, when they start the prayers off, they say, Blessed Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. You can say our Father, or you can say Jesus. Because you know what? The book says that Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all pressed out in the space and time. We saw all there is of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Even the Christ. And look at that word Christ there. Now, I'm not doing violence with this. What is two Christ do? What case is that, brother?
Oh, you said
genitive. Singular masculine. Two theou is genitive singular masculine. Two theou is genitive singular masculine. Are they one and the same?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Alright. We got that one. And it says Chi Basileus Susan. And they shall reign. Our word Basilea comes from that. And the word Basilica comes from that also. And what is that? What is Basileia? That's a kingdom, isn't it? And who reigns in a kingdom?
King.
All right, king. And they shall reign with him. Who is this? This him.
Christ.
Genitive, singular, masculine.
Christ.
With him, and then we know that this word ta is understood. That's what you call a practical substance. It doesn't have to be there in Greek. but it's understood to be there. It's talking about the 1,000 years. Kilia ete. The 1,000 years. Again, the 1,000-year reign of Christ is referred to, and it talks about his saints reigning with him. All right? In the Greek world, every individual in the king and the kingdom of Greece, the kingdom of Greece was what we call in the Western world the first democracy. Okay? Because everybody, every city-state, every ecclesia, all right, and that word ecclesia is where we get our word church from, every ecclesia was a local, visible, democratic body. All right? Now, in God's kingdom, in the world today, he left his churches here to rule and reign in this administration of time. All right? In ancient Greece, in times of old, the physical expression of the kingdom of Greece was in every city that you went to and you saw. And every individual in each one of these towns was ruling and reigning with that empire. Because they all authority. You understand how that Christ's followers, his saints, his saved, are ruling with reigning in him? Because they're part of that kingdom in the end time. This 1,000-year reign of Christ, which people don't want to believe. Okay? Ruling and reigning. So all the 1,000 years. And if you want to refer to this with scriptures, Isaiah 63:1-6, Daniel 2:44-45, and you can get this off the tape later if you want to, Zechariah 1-15, Matthew 24:29-31, and 25:31-46, and Jude 14:15, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. All right? These are scriptures that correspond to this very period of time that back up what the scriptures say. Okay? And somebody turn with me in Jude 14 and 15. That's right next to the book of Revelation there. Somebody read that one for me. Jude 14 and 15. Our class is almost over. That's our split. You got that, Brother Kim?
Mm-hmm. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of the saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him."
All right. That's talking about this resurrection and this period of time. Daniel, the second chapter, verses 44 and verse 45. Daniel 2, 44 and verse 45. We're going to cover just a couple of these scriptures so you can understand the references. Do you have that one, brother?
Daniel 2:44-45. "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left for the people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure."
All right. Who's that rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands? Christ himself. He's the rock of our salvation. Isn't he?
Yes.
All right. He is the rock. When Jesus in Matthew 16:18, he said to Peter, "You're Peter, a little rock. But upon this gigantic foundation stone, I shall be building my ecclesia, my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to wrestle her down." That's our promise that we have in this age that we have today. That God was going to be with his churches throughout this age. They're never going to die. They're never going to have to start again. They're going to last all through the church age. That's a beautiful, beautiful promise. All right. Revelation 20 and verse 7. It's kind of a short verse. Kai, Kota, Teleste, Ta, Kelia, Ete, Lethesete, Ho, Satanus, Ek, Tes, Floakes, Altu. Here in the 1,000 years is referred to again. All right? Do you believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ?
Yeah.
How many times does God have to say it to convince you? I ain't not going to work with Harold Camping there, brother. Don't believe him. He'll spiritualize it away somehow in this world. All right? And Kai, Hotan, and whenever. This is a little old conjunction. You can look it up. It comes from Hote and on. And it means whenever. And it's relating to time, periods of time. And whenever it may be completed, it may be brought to a finish. That teleste, we get our word terminal from this word, basically. Terminal, what does that mean? If a guy has a terminal illness, what's going to happen?
He's going to die.
He's going to die. The end is near. All right? All right. When it shall be completed, when the end has come, the 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years is completed, it says now, it says in several places, like Revelation 27 through 9, what we're talking about right here, look on your little map up here. It says that Satan is going to be cast in the lake of fire for, well, in the bottomless pit, not in the lake of fire, for 1,000 years. On this earth during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the earth is going to have rest from Satan and all of his demonic influences. He's not going to be around to bother anybody. No one will ever be able to say the devil made me do it. If somebody's executed during that time, or somebody is slapped around by God's administrators in his kingdom, it's going to be because of them. Not anything Satan made them do, nor any of his little imps, because they're not going to be in charge, not going to be around any place. The 1,000 years. And he shall be loose. Whole Satanus. Who is this Satanus? What does this word mean? What was Satan? This is Satan. That's who he's talking about. Give me an etymology of the word Satan. Liar?
Means liar, does it?
Well, he is a liar. He's a deceiver, but he's called that.
Run through.
What about the word Satan? Diabolos, that's the word. Okay. What about the word Satan? What does it mean? It means the one who stands against, the opposer. The opposer. That's what the word Satanos means, the opposing one. He who opposes God. What was his name originally when God created
Lucifer.
Him? Lucifer. Did God create him evil?
No.
Did God create man evil?
No.
What did God do? He created Satan so he could have a volition of his own, because nothing could ever serve God unless there was a personal volition that made him do that, or allowed him to do that of his own free will. Okay? Some people will have you think in what we call hyper-Calvinism, that you don't have any choice or you're saved or lost. That either you're born saved and that's the way you are, or you're born lost. Well, God, I don't believe, works that way. God couldn't get any glory from you if you were a robot. Could he? Could God get glory from an angel if he didn't have a choice? If he just went out there like some robot, some puppet, and said, I love you, God, I love you, I'll serve you forever, God, I love you. Well, he was programmed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How about if a person was programmed to be saved? How much glory could God get out of that? God created man in his image. The book of Genesis said, in his blood flowing likeness, in his shadow casting likeness, his spiritual likeness. And among in that spiritual likeness was a sovereignty. What does sovereign mean? When you're a sovereign being, what does it mean?
You're over all.
a choice. That is the most dangerous gift that God ever gave you. Because you can put yourself in hell with that gift. God will never make you be saved. But He calls every man to salvation. Every one. But that blood is not applied, is not efficacious, unless you repent of your sins and call upon Him. That's the strings that are attached to it. After the 1,000 years has been brought to complete, he shall be loosed, this opposer, this opposing one. His name was Lucifer in the original, and it meant light carrier. He was created a perfect being without sin, but with a capability of opposing and sinning. Satan chose to oppose and to sin. Now, when you're born into this world, you're an opposer. You are. The Word of God says that I came forth from my mother's womb of speaking lies, crying when I didn't need to cry. Even little babies cry and they lie. They want somebody to hold them, so they say, something's happening, something's wrong with me. And mom runs over there real quick, daddy runs over there. There's nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with her. He just crying to you. Little rascal. We grow up. You're covered by the blood of Christ when you don't know right from wrong. And that means all idiots, retarded people that can't ever come to the point of rationalizing that they are sinners. And every child, until it comes to the age of accountability, and wherever that is, it's very individual. Until they come to the age of accountability, they're covered by the blood of Christ. But they still have sin in their life, and that sin is what brings them to the grave. Then they come to the point of life when they realize they're sinners, and their cognition of that. And when you realize that you're a sinner, and you have a choice of either going that way or that way, which one do you make? What are you doing with your life today? Are you falling like Satan did? Or are you going to glorify God with your life? Dangerous choice, isn't it? Dangerous. The opposer, Satan, out of the prison of him, he is loosed out of the prison of him. Now he goes back out deceiving people. It's going to be a short furlough. Brother,
this word, celeste, that's an aorist passive. An aorist passive subjunctive.
Okay, third person singular, first aorist subjunctive passive, until it may be completed. Okay, aorist tense is punctiliar action, and subjunctive mode is a mode about doubtful
affirmation
or whatever. Okay,
it's
and it's passive. So it's done. Until it may be completed or finished or brought to an end. The 1,000 years. It just clips along until it finally comes to an end. At a period of time, that's 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, it's over with them. It's over. When you put your washing machine on the cycle and you set it for doing light, heavy duty, or whatever it is, it goes through its cycle. The purpose of the 1,000-year reign of Christ is what?
To prove that people will sin without
the influence of Satan, and also it gives Israel a period of time where they will glorify God. Okay? And it prepares mankind and angelic forces for an eternal forever. That ain't today that we're talking about tonight. Thank you for your attention tonight. It went by quickly for me. I hope it went by quickly for you. I hope you learned something in it, though. If they're still in going out there, be quiet when you go out. And I hope that God deals with your heart to serve Him better than you ever did before. because as Brother, can't even think your name,
Carl,
said tonight, it is instilled in him the want to serve God in these last days and not live for himself, but for God. That's why God wants us here on this earth anyway. He could take us out of it when we're saved, but he leads us here to witness and to serve him and to glorify him with our lives. We ought to do that. We ought to do it. Brother Carl, would you dismiss us in prayer with me?
Dear Father, as we looked at Revelation tonight and we saw firsthand that there will be a 1,000-year reign, there will be a resurrection of the dead, but we just praise you for the great hope you've given us. And we thank you for Jim teaching us tonight. Help us as we leave here tonight to live in light of your coming and to let this hope be instilled in our hearts that there's a great future ahead for us, and help us to be motivated to use our spiritual gifts to serve you, but open up opportunities of service for us. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen.